Right, let's hear from Scripture now. John's going to read to us from Ephesians. Thank you, John.
The reading is Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. God's new family of Jews and Gentiles. You who are not Jews by birth, here is what I want you to remember. You are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves circumcised. But they have only been circumcised in their bodies by human hands. Before you believed in Christ, you were separated from him. You were not considered to be citizens of Israel. You were not included in what the covenants promised. You were without hope and without God in the world. At one time, you were far away from God. But now you belong to Christ Jesus. He spilled his blood for you. This has brought you near to God. Christ himself is our peace. He has made Jews and Gentiles into one group of people. He has destroyed the hatred that was like a wall between us. Through his body on the cross, Christ set aside the law with all its commands and rules. He planned to create one new people out of Jews and Gentiles. He wanted to make peace between them. He planned to bring both Jews and Gentiles back to God as one body. He planned to do this through the cross. On that cross, Christ put to death their hatred towards one another. He came and preached peace to you who were far away. He also preached peace to those who were near. Through Christ, we both come to the Father by the power of one Holy Spirit. So you are no longer outsiders and strangers. You are citizens together with God's people. You are also members of God's family. You are a building that is built on the apostles and prophets. You are the foundation. Christ himself is the most important stone in the building. The whole building is held together by him. It rises to become a holy temple because it belongs to the Lord. And because you belong to him, you are being built together. You are being made into a house where God lives through his Spirit.
Okay, bit of fun first, as always. Church bulletin bloopers. We've got a few more. The singing group will be having a picnic today. Please bring a blanket and prepare to sing. last one. The Weight Watchers group will be meeting at church, 8 p.m. tonight. Please come through the double doors at the side of the building. Okay. Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. I struggled with this one a bit more than the last one. The last passage I had to preach from was much more meaty. This one I struggled a bit with, but I'm breaking it into two parts. The first part will talk about this passage. And the second part is something more personal that has come to a revelation to myself and Rachel last year. And I hope it will be a revelation to you as well. So, Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. This is all about breaking down barriers that are built up. God wants us to understand that he destroyed barriers and divisions in people in order to create a unified church that fitted together as the temple of God. As the temple of God, we are a dwelling place and should demonstrate it through our mutual love, support and acceptance of one another. And through that, lead others to Christ. For Paul, there's two kinds of people. So I need two volunteers. Christy? Keith. One down. Price is right. Because if you like to stand there. If you like to stand over there a little bit. Thank you. So, no particular order. Jews and Gentiles. Jews were the descendants of Abraham, entered into the promised land, were God's chosen people in the Old Covenant. Gentiles were not God's people. Sorry. Were not part of the Old Covenant and did not choose to follow God. So, or insiders, who were inside God's covenant, and outsiders. Outcasts, or even referred to as aliens. Hopelessly stranded in a fractured world without God. A lot of people are like that these days. In Jerusalem, a stone wall separated Jewish from non-Jewish worshippers. And according to Paul in this passage, the cross of Christ removed that to make one God's people. But today, even our society today, wars still exist. I need my helper, Nathan. If you'd like to take these three. Turn the bottom ones upside down. Come on, you can rely on men to do the building. That's fine. So, here's some tough areas. Race. Black versus white. Have a lot of issues still. Today in some places. I'm proud in Lorne that we're an inclusive community. And I think we embrace everyone here as a church. But still, in the church today, there are divisions in this area. Also, gender. People have issues with gender, right? With male and female. Well, that's a man's job. That's something about you. You know, so that's something to think about. Are we... You know, one good thing in Lorn is we have women in leadership, which I think is good. I believe that's right. A lot of others may struggle with that, and it can cause trouble. Age. Someone's too young. You're too young to do that, or you're even too old to do that. We don't believe in that, right? That's not something which is right. It doesn't do that. Social class. Social class is also a problem today. With sometimes people from upper class not able to associate with people from a lower class. This one spoke to me a lot when I worked in the night shelter, because I was able to deal with people who felt like they were the lowest of the low, but I was able to relate to them. At the start I struggled with that, but then I was able, through God's love, I was able to relate. What about appearance? What about if a guy came in covered in tattoos and piercings? Would we accept him for who he is, or would we judge him straight away? And struggle and keep away from this guy. He looks too rough. Religion and beliefs. This is another one we can struggle with. How many friends do you have who have different religions? Different religion to you? I feel quite blessed at work because I work with Muslims, I work with Hindus, and I'm able to have good relationships with these people. And there's a respect between. between us, and I'm actually, through that and through my friendship, I'm able to share the gospel, which, you know, is amazing that there's that openness. Sports teams, I have to get this one in there. I know we have a Spurs fan and a Chelsea fan, I'm sure there's a few others here, and I'm a Liverpool fan. But we have our differences, but we all, you know, accept one another.
Don't forget Swindon then.
And Swindon. League 2 doesn't count. Alright, this one. Sexual orientation. This is a difficult one these days because there are a lot of changes going on. But do we love the person itself? Or do we reject? And the bottom one here, last but not least, disability. As Susan was talking earlier, it's so great that we have Thursday Fellowship, which is a church where people with different disabilities are welcomed and encouraged. And it's a real open place where people can be who they are in Christ. And God moves through that. So these are all walls today. Some people try and fight to protect these walls by keeping them there and stop, you know, and believing that, you know, we only want a church full of white people and or have all these big issues. But these things block others coming to Christ. So they're blocks, which blocks the gospel. So anyone who defends this wall and not want it to be come down is an enemy of the gospel, I believe. Gospel is an inclusive message. And Jesus changed it all via the cross. Let's rearrange this a bit. He changed it all via the cross. No one is excluded in God's family. He died for everyone, not just certain people. And you cannot love God and not love people. So when you really love God, there will be something in you which will make you want to love people from whatever walk of life. Let's be inclusive and really be able to share the gospel of love. So, just nipping back to a few of these verses. In verse 14, what we read, it says that through Jesus, he takes down the barrier of hatred and hostility that has divided in the past. Verse 17, it says about God's voice speaking to the near and far people. People who are close to God and people who are far from God. He speaks to all of us. And verse 18, access through the Father. And we're no longer outcasts, but citizens, members of God's household together. Mm-hmm. So Chris, we're going to stand on that side, don't you? All of us are chosen and sealed in him. And we are a dwelling place, in verse 22, where God lives in the Spirit. Okay, thank you guys. So let's move over there.
That's why it's shown on the top. I just have to move out of the way to see.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay, so the next thing I wanted to move on to was moving more into the we are a dwelling place, God lives by Spirit. So, last year in March, Rachel and I went to School of Ministry conference by Catch the Fire, and this was one topic they spoke about, and it's really impacted me, and I hope it impacts you as well. And it's fullness in Christ. Actually, Susan spoke a bit about this already this morning, so it fits in nicely. Everything changes when you know Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, it says
in Colossians.
When we believed in him, Christ came to live in us by Spirit. Now he's making his home in our hearts. In the future, when he returns, he will even spread our body outwardly so that God's glory can shine through us in a full way. The Christ who lives in us is our hope and such glory. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ and no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, for me, Frank Hurd no longer exists. He died when he became a Christian. I'm now Frank/Jesus/Father/Holy Spirit, because they all live within me. The old stuff died when I accepted Jesus, but we do have bad habits sometimes of digging back the old person and things creep back, which we deal with. So I need some more volunteers to demonstrate this. So this demonstration will stick with you. So I need a Father God, and I've decided that would be Barry. Barry, come on down. This is Father God, the Almighty, holy, perfect, compassionate, loving. He is unique. He is the uncreated one. He created man, but we sinned and we separated ourselves from God. In the Old Testament, we tried to make many sacrifices to come back close, but it didn't work. It failed. So God had a plan. And I needed Jesus. Nathan.
Frank, can God go that way a bit?
God can come this way.
Yeah,
go
thank you. I can see you now. I put God in the box. Yeah.
Jesus. God has a son. There's no beard.
Not yet.
In the fullness of the time, the Father sent him to the world. Philippians 2, verse 6 to 7. Who, being very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used on his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. This is Jesus, and he came and lived among us to reverse the effects of the sin which was created from Adam. He was tempted in every way, but he did not sin. So this is perfect. Jesus is perfect. And Jesus is now the way to the Father. So to get to the Father, I have to go through Jesus. It says that in the Bible, in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, said Jesus. I need someone else. I need a man. Keith. This could have been a woman, but just for this example. Sorry, I've lost myself.
You've lost the man.
Yeah. Right, okay, I'll go ad hoc. This is Keith. He's a Christian.
Amen.
He believed in Jesus. Let's stand behind Keith. Stand behind Keith.
Yep.
He believed in Jesus and gave his life to Christ. Can you put your arms out here? Like that.
Yep.
Keith, put your arms out. He when you became a Christian, was crucified with Christ, so the nails went both through their hands. And through that, Keith went from not having a life in Christ to receiving Christ, and then both of them, through this process, were crucified and went down. So, sorry, gents. Did you both lie on the floor? It is finished. They're both died. So our Christian here died to himself with Jesus, and they're both buried. Now, does it end there?
No.
So, I need the Holy Spirit. Ruth. I've chosen Ruth for the Holy Spirit because Ruth is vivacious and she's sensitive to God's Spirit. So that's why you're all as Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was even spoken about in Genesis. It says, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me of comfort, peace, boldness, gives us boldness, confidence in Christ, guides us, helps us to love God more and to love others, empowers us, gives us God's strength, and leads us into God's presence. Okay, so what the Holy Spirit did, and God sent the Holy Spirit, was to raise these two back to life. Come on, gents. I chose the right two. These two are risen to life. So now, our Christian here is a new creation in Christ. He's united with these two. So God's going to move in. Let's have a group hug, you four. These are now one. So through that death, they're now one. So this Christian guy here is now one with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Keep hugging while I find my place. So, the powerful thing about this is if you move back out, right, well, I've God over here, and Jesus on the right hand over here. Okay, and then we'll have Keith and the Christian in the middle here. And then we'll have the Holy Spirit just in front here. Right, now, put your hands out, Nathan, we can move around a bit. And Keith, all put your hands together for Ruth. And Barry, could you just come around and put your hands and make a four here? Right? Yeah, what's going on? This amazing thing is that now this Christian guy here has all the Holy Trinity with him. Yeah. He is the headquarters of the Trinity here on earth. Right? When he said yes to Christ, this is what happened. Now if I said to Keith now, go and get me that Bible over there. He can't do anything without taking this lot with him. Right? Which is pretty powerful if you think about that as a Christian. God is in Christ. God is in Christ. Christ is in you. You are in Christ. And you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. New creation. When we stretch out our hand together to pray for people, to heal the sick, it's not just your hand. It's all these guys as well that are with you. That should give you encouragement, because those times where you think, oh, I can't do it, it's not just your hand. It's all these guys who are praying when they stretch forward. That's a reality. We are one with God, and that means we're dynamite. We need this reality to know who we are. We're not just something simple. This is big stuff. This is really understanding your identity. I'm in Christ and Christ in me. And it changes everything. These hands are actually powerful weapons, united. When we really get this, think about this, God in Christ, Christ in me, one with Christ, God in me, temple of the Holy Spirit, new creation, and reconciled with the Father who created. In John 17, it says all this, when Jesus prayed for the believers. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, said Jesus, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world might believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may all, we are one, all know we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even though you loved me, said Jesus. So, as a Christian, we are the headquarters of the Trinity on earth. Let's grasp hold of that revelation. This is amazing. Grasp it. Understand it. Life is not normal as being a Christian. It's surprising how you can have a normal life when you've got all these guys with you, right? There's amazing power that you can pull from heaven through your daily walk. Grasp it. So what does this lead to? What does this mean for you today? Deeper relationship with God, with our Creator God, our Saviour Jesus, and our Holy Spirit as our helper. Assured future. We're assured of our future in God. We have this relationship. And once we have this relationship, we know a certain future of heaven. And living day by day today, not just looking to the future. Passionate worship. If you really understood this and you walked with God, get passionate about it. Go for it. Really worship God. And the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Anyone know what the Great Commission from God is?
To all the disciples.
Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Feels a bit scary on your own, right? But with these guys, can it be done?
I think so, right?
Let's not be satisfied with just normality, right? Let's let this really sink into you as you go through the week, this week. That you're taking these guys wherever you go, and they're with you. John 4:14. Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, said Jesus. But the water I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. Thank you very much. There we are. Thank you. Hopefully that's helped you guys. Has that been a revelation to anyone here this morning? That new picture? Does it give you more oomph as a Christian to live your life? Actually, maybe some people here this morning are not a Christian and have never made that commitment. My word to you is, go for it, right? Having those three guys with you, it makes an amazing life and it makes a transformation. I've got a song here. I'm not going to sing it because I'll empty the room. But it's a good thing as a response. So I'm going to read it. I'll ask you to close your eyes. And now I'm going to read it before we finish. So it says, you stood before creation, eternity within your hands. You spoke all life into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say and what can I do but offer this heart, O God, completely to you? I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me, this life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say and what can I do but offer my heart, O God, completely to you? So what can I say and what could I do but offer my heart, O God, completely to you? So I'll stand with my arms high and my heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. My soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. Amen. So, summing up, we need to be inclusive as a church and be inclusive as our in your lives and different people we meet and share God's love through the gospel, but also get hold of that revelation of who we are and our identity. And if we really understood your identity, your life would be totally transformed. If anyone would like prayer after the meeting, please come to the front and we'll be willing to pray for you. But don't just live a normal life.
There's so much more.
So much more. And as leaders of Lorne, we want to encourage you to step into that more of God.